Under the letter Tzadik, he talks about Tzavos. So he quotes from earlier Achronim that the minig was that when a person would reach the age of 50, he would make out a will, make a Tzavos, based on the pasuk in Chumash, Bishnasa Abel Hazos Toshuvu Ish Elachuzoso. The simple reading of the pasuk, Pshut Rishon Mikra, says after 7 years you have a Shemitah, after 49 years of seven Shemitahs, you observe a Yovel year. So in a Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, there's a stay achuz and there's a stay amikah. There's a stay mikness. A stay achuz is a field that I got from my father, got from his father, got from his father, all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun, to the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Then there's a stay mikneh, a field that I bought from someone else. So if you have a stay mikneh, a field that you didn't get, but Yerusha, you bought it, so when it comes Yom Kippur of Shnas HaYovel, you have to give back the field to the rightful owner. B'Shnas HaYovel Azaz, Toshuv L'Ish Alach Azazay. And the Abedibi goes free. Abedibi goes free. And the fields go back. That's geula. Everything goes back. So, as an additional level of interpretation of the pasuk, so the achrayim interpreted bishnasa yavel azas, when a person reaches the age of 50, he should consider the fact that he's going to return back to his maker. He's going to die. Not going to die. He has another 70 years to go. Maybe he has some shana, but he should consider the fact that he may be dying. He should make a tzavua. So it's not so unusual. My sister-in-law I have a sister-in-law who's a daughter-in-law of one of the prominent Rosh Yeshivas. So she said when her father-in-law celebrated his 50th birthday, the whole family was together, and he told him that he made out a will. So she thought he was so morose. What does he think? He's going to die already. He died in his 70s. Well, what did he think? In his 80s. Yeah, what did he think he's going to die? I said, no, he's just following what it says in the Paskim, that you're supposed to make out a will when you reach the age of 50. In effect, that Rosh Yeshiva, when he died, he left in his tavor that if there'll be any shailas in Hilchas Avelis, his children should follow what it says in the Sefer Chaim Aruch and the Mishmar Rishalom. So obviously he was using that Sefer. So that's, you people are young. When you reach the age of 50, you should start making out a will. Hey, what should the will say? So we usually follow Dina the Machus Adina. We follow the law of the land. So here, there is a tshuva, if you had these marmakaymas, number 7 in the Marmakayim is there's a tshuva in the Maharit Tzahalon. There were two people who lived the same generation who are known as Maharitats, but they're two different people. Rabbeinu Yontem Tzahalon lived in Tzfat. When the Beis Yosef passed away, he was a very young man, and he lived after that, and he has many tshuvas. He was involved. One of the Beis Yosef's children died leaving no children. So his wife needed chalitza, so there was a whole asik at that time. So the Marit Tzahalon wrote the knockout tshuva about that issue. The Beis Yosef had already passed away, so he wasn't involved then. So the Marit Tzahalon, and then the other one at the same generation was Rabbeinu Yosef Tai Tatzak, who was a rabbi in Constantinople. Also, he's famous for his tshuvas. So in the tshuvas of the Marit Tzahalon from Tzvat, he has a tshuva where he writes, he was sent by the Rabbanim in Tzvat to visit all of the Jewish communities in the neighboring Arab countries, to explain to them that they're doing wrong, that they're following Din and the Machusa, they follow the law of the land, the secular law with respect to Yerusha, for two reasons. So the first reason he gives is that Din and the Machusa only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. If there's a case between a Jew and a non-Jew. But if both of the parties are Taber and Nitva, both Jewish, then we don't follow Dira de Machus at all. We follow the Choshe Mishpat. And the second reason is, this says in the Rambam writes a drosha on the Pasuk, which we do not have in the Gemara at all. They say it appears in the Medrash HaGadol. The Medrash HaGadol is a sefer, we're not too sure. Many claim the Medrash HaGadol was written, he took things from the Rambam, not that the Rambam took things from the Medrash HaGadol. But apparently the Rambam had such a source from Tanoima, from Amoraim, commenting on the Pasuk when the Torah tells the whole story about Benoi Slavcha, the head of Shail of Yerusha, and then Moshe Rabbeinu tells over the dinim of Yerusha. So the expression used in the Chumash is, V'oisuzos lechem l'chukas mishpat. So the Rambam quotes Adrasha, even though Yerusha is a matter of mishpat, a matter of dollars and cents, the halacha treats it as if it were Issa v'heter, as if it were chukas mishpat. The Gemara has a different drasha on this phrase, chukas mishpat. But that's what the Rambam quotes. So the Rambam writes that even though Yerusha is dinimamunus, we treat it as if it were Issa v'heter. With respect to the halacha, the Gemara has, we paskin, masna ma'ashikasa b'tor b'issa v'heter is not valid. Let's say a person gets married to a girl, and he says, hariyat mukadeshesli, on the condition that if I die leaving no children, you will not need chalitza, or something like that. So on the condition that you don't have to observe the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. So there is no such din. That's Masna Mashakasa Batara B'Issa V'Heta. But Masna Mashakasa Batara B'Dovish B'Mamin is a Machlokes HaTanan Wait Paskin Tanoi Kaim. That is a good thing. So the Rambam writes that even if you make a Tanai in Yerusha, the Rambam quotes a Mishnah in Yesh Nechlin, that Tanai in Yerusha is not valid. So the Gemara gives a different reason from the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this from some source. Because Yerusha is called, it was referred to by the Chumash as Chukas Mishpat, so we consider it as if it were Issa v'Heter, and we say that Masa Mashkasa Batar b'Issa v'Heter, the Tanai is not valid. The Rambam has this both in Hilchas Ishus as well as in Hilchas Nachlas. And Hilchas Ishus, he quotes the din which is repeated in Hilchas Nachlas, that Habal Yorish Es Ishta. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Habal Yorish Es Ishta is a din deraisa, a din derabanan. In Halacha Lamaisa, it's Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid how to Paskin. There are a few slight nafkeminis la Halacha. The Rambam Paskins, Abal Yerush Es Ishta, is only the Rabbanon. The Ravid Paskins, Abal Yerush Es Ishta, is a Din Deraisa. So the Rambam writes, despite the fact that Abal Yerush Es Ishta is only a Din Derabbanon, but still, Masna Mashikasa Batoira would not be valid. So let's say a man marries a girl and he says, Hariyah Mekodeshesli, on the Tanai, that she says, on the he says, she says, they both say, on the Tanai, that Habal Yerush Es Ishta should not apply. So the Rambam says he can't make such a Tanai, because that's Masa Masha Kasa Batar B'Issa V'Heter, that's not considered Dabash Mamam, and so Tanai Batal. There is such a thesis also in Ksubis, explaining a Gemara, that we consider Yerusha as Issa V'Heter. Thesis interprets that this is a Shakal of Atari in the Gemara. Even though it doesn't say explicitly, this is Tosfos' interpretation. We consider Yerusha as Issa v'Heter, and we say that Ein Koach B'Yad Chachamim L'Kadov Men HaTorah. The Rambam says it's Issa v'Heter with respect to the halacha of Masa Mashkasa B'Torah. The Issa v'Heter that Tanai is not valid. And Tosfos says we consider Issa v'Heter with respect to the following din. The Gemara says the Chachamim are authorized to make dinim the Rabbanan, but they can't be Yoy Kadov Men HaTorah B'Kum V'Yaseh. They can't allow, let's say, the Reform and the Conservative give their rabbis unlimited authority. The rabbi can permit the Balabatim to drive to the synagogue on Shabbos. The Orthodox rabbis don't have such authority. They can't permit the Balabatim to drive to the synagogue. The Rabbanu Shalom can permit, but the rabbi, when it comes to Dini Mominus, Yesh Koach, Afilo Laka Bikum V'Yaseh, the Gemara says, why? Because they employ the mechanism of Hefker Bez Nehefker. So Tosfos interprets in the Gemara that the Gemara is saying that Beis Din has no right to change the laws of Yerusha, because Ein Koach Laka Daven Atar Bikum V'Yaseh, because we treat Yerusha as if it were Issa V'Heter. We don't treat it like Dini Mominus, that Hefke Beis Din Hefke solves the whole problem. So both Tosfos and the Rambam say like that. So that's the Klal of Dina de Machus Adina only applies in the area of Dini Mominus. It doesn't apply in the area of Issa V'Heter. So those are the two reasons that we cannot rely on Dina de Malchus Adina with respect to the laws of Yerusha. What does a guy have to make a Jewish will for? Let him just let him die and follow the secular law. So one reason is that we treat Yerusha as Issa v'Heter, where Dina Malchus doesn't apply. It only applies in Dina Mominus. And the second reason is because Dina Malchus only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. Here all the parties involved are Jewish. So what are the laws of Yerusha? So I remember it happened, an uncle of mine passed away. He left a couple of $1,000, didn't leave so much. He was in the American Army in the Second World War. He was injured, he never got married, and he had some money saved up. So the executor of the will was another uncle of mine, who was a musmach from the yeshiva, and he divided, and he was supposed to divide the money in a fair fashion. I have no tinus. Instead of the $2,000, would have gotten $2,300. Big deal. It wasn't such a big amount of money. But I was surprised. The executor of the will did not follow the halacha. The halacha is very clear. There are no sfeikas about this. The dinim are very clear who gets the Yerusha. The rules and regulations. When a person dies, who gets the Yerusha? It says in the Chumash. If a man dies, so his sons get the Yerusha. If he has never had any sons, so the daughters get the Yerusha. If he had sons and they died before him, so the grandchildren get the Yerusha. The children of the sons get the Yerusha as opposed to the daughters. The daughters don't get the Yerusha. And if the son predeceased the father, and the son has a son and a daughter, so only the son gets the Yerusha, not the daughter. The Bein is always, the Zohar is always Kodim Lenikeb, every step of the way. The Zohar is Kodim Lenikeb. So then, if he has no children, then the father gets the Yerusha. If he has no father, the mother does not get the Yerusha. The wife does not Yarshan the husband, only the husband Yarshan's wife. Unfair? Hastatayin, it's unfair. But that's what it says in Chumash. So we have a whole, everything is very clear, everything is spelled out. Once in a while, you don't know who died first. That's discussions in the Mishnahs. During the Second World War, the Nazis killed so many people, millions and millions of people. So a lot of times you don't know who was killed first, who died first. So if one person died first, the Yerusha goes in that direction. Another person died first, the Yerusha goes in that direction. So then the Mishnahs say, what if you don't know who died first? So how do you deal with that situation? So sometimes it's Yachloku and not always Yachloku. After the Second World War, there were Dinei Torah. People weren't fighting. There was money stashed away in Swiss banks. And they went to the Rabban, just ask, what's the din? Who gets the Yerusha? If you're not sure who was killed first. So the rules and regulations, everything is very clear. The Torah does give a person the right to make a tzavuah. The Mishnah Baba Basu Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph quotes Rebbechim Ben Broko, who comments on the Pasuk, V'hoya b'yom hanachila azbonov, Esa shiyo lo, l'yuchla barkez ben ha'uv, al p'nei ben asnua ha'pchor. So Rebbechim Ben Broko is wondering, why does it say b'yom hanachila azbonov, when the father is about to give over the Yerusha to his children? What do you mean the father about to give over? Well, Chamovis takes my life, I drop dead, and the Yerusha goes automatically. What kind of a lashon hanchilo is banav? As if the father gives over Yerusha. Rabbi Yechem Merbeke says from that, the way the verb appears in the Chumash, b'yom hanchilo is banav, you see, Atar nasan reshus la'av lahanchil l'chol mishayirtza. The Torah gives the father the right to determine who should get the Yerusha. What does that mean, who should get the Yerusha? So let's say, I don't like my children, I want to give it to a cousin. So the Gemara says that's not included. What it means is like this. I happen to have three sons and six daughters. So the three sons, no one is a pchor. My oldest child is a girl. So there's no din of bechora. The bechora does not get the pishnayim. And when a woman dies and she gives the Yerusha, she leaves the Yerusha to her children, there's no din of pishnayim when the mother dies. There's only din of pishnayim when the father dies and the pchor is a male son. It has to be not the oldest... The firstborn is the Pchor. Unlike Pidyon HaBen, the Mishnah is distinguished by Pidyon HaBen, HaPchor HaBo Lacha Nefolim, if first there was a miscarriage and then the next child is a boy, so there's no Pidyon HaBen because it's not Beterechim. Here by Pchor, by Pishnaim, the Gemara explains that it's not the same. The Dinim are not exactly the same. Sometimes you're a Pchor for Pishnaim and you're not Pchor for Pidyon HaBen purposes. And sometimes, let's say you're a Pchor for Pidyon HaBen, you're not a Pchor for Pishnaim. Let's say a man was married and he had children, then his wife dies and he gets divorced and he marries another woman. So if the other woman is having a first child that she ever had is a boy, so there's going to be a Pidyon HaBen. The father will be mechuyav to make Pidyon HaBen on the son who was born to the first wife and the son who was born to the second wife, if it was a Peterechim. But the son born to the second wife is not going to get Pishnaim. Pishnaim depends on the first child being a boy that was born to the father. If he had children from the first wife, then he has children from the second wife, but born later. So there's no din of Pishnaim. So it's different in both directions. That's the name of the perek in the end of Pchoris. Yesh Pchor L'Nachla, V'en Pchor L'Pinyam, Yesh Pchor L'Pinyam, V'en Pchor L'Nachla. The dinim are not the same. So let's say I have three sons and six daughters. So my first two children were girls, so I don't have any din of Pchor. So the three sons are in line to get Yerusha, all the millions that I'm going to leave after I die. So each son is going to get 33%. Each one's going to get one-third. So one of my sons is a businessman. The other two sons are sitting and learning. So let's say I decide the businessman, he's doing very well in business. He doesn't need 33% of the Yerusha. Let's say I'll give him 10%. It may not be an intelligent thing to do. I may cause machlokes among the children. This son won't ever talk to me again. I'm going to die, so I don't care. But he may not talk to the other two sons either. So maybe it's not a smart thing to do. But let's say Rabbi Yechem Abrek is saying, if you're not worried about the psychological ramifications, the father decides, he says, the son who's a businessman should not get any Yerusha. So Mereli left with two sons, and two sons will get 50-50. So the Mishnah says if the father says it in a negative, that son who's a businessman should not get any Yerusha, then it's not valid. You can't do that. Lo yuchel avaka means not only can you not cheat the Torah from the Pishnaim, you can make a tzavoy, but the tzavoy has to be formulated in the positive. What I can say is, my son Yosef Aryeh and my son Aaron Yeshaya should each get 50% of the Yerusha. Boils down to the same thing. He gets 50, so it means he gets nothing. But if you're saying in the negative, he shouldn't get anything, then the Mishnah says it's not chal. You say it in the positive, then it will be chal. Or let's say, I'll say, my son who's the businessman should get 10% of the Yerusha, that leaves 90, and this son should get 45%, he should get 45%. So it may not be smart to do that, may cause friction in the family, but if you did that, that would be valid. But let's say I'm going to say, the daughter should get equal Yerusha with the son. So the daughters are not in line to get a penny. If there are three sons, the daughters are not in line to get a penny. Well, I'm going to say the cousin should get the Yerusha. I like the rabbi in the yeshiva, the rabbi should get the Yerusha. So there is no such thing. Rabbi Yechemer Brok only says, if he says, I'll bein ben abonim, one of the sons, I say, I have three sons, one son should get 95% of the Yerusha, and the other two sons should divide the 5% among them. Okay, so that you can say. On one who's Baroi Liyosho, each one is in line to get 33% of the Yerusha, I can change the percentages if you say it in the positive as opposed to saying it in the negative. That's what Rabbi Yechemer Brok's din. But if you want to give Yerusha to the daughters, then Rabbi Yechemer Brok's din is not going to help. The Gemara has a suffix regarding this din of Rabbi Yechemer Brok. The Mishnah is Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, and the Gemara Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph has a suffix regarding Rabbi Yechemer Brok's din. We have a din. Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Mechim Mesurindom. Shchimera is not a goses. A goses means, the Rambam defines goses in the Pirush HaMishnayos on the Holos. Goses means that death is a process. It's not that the person is alive 1 minute and the next minute he's dead. It's a whole process that takes a while. The organs, the blood circulation stops supplying blood to one of the vital organs and to another vital organ. One by one they're all going. So that's the beginning of the process. And the end of the process, that's the whole machlekes and on generation. How to determine the moment of death, that's an issue. So gosis means, the Rambam writes, gosis means one who is in the beginning, one who is in the process. The Pirush HaMishnayos is written in Arabic, which I don't know, so we use the Hebrew translation. So the Hebrew translation and Aholis, the Rambam, the translator writes, Tahalich HaMoves, the process of death. So gosis is one man who's holding by the end, forming at the mouth, and he can't talk, and he doesn't know what's going on, he's in the process of dying. Shchimera just means a guy who is sick in bed, and he's not well enough to get out of bed. So there's a takana with the rabbanon dibre shchimera kiksuvim mechim surindomi. If the guy is sick in bed, he may get so nervous about, he may think he's going to die. Not necessarily going to die, just because he has the flu. Sometimes people die from the flu. Most of the time they don't die from the flu. So he may get so nervous that he's going to die. This may cause him to die from anxiety. So sometimes people get so nervous about their money, about the Yerusha, from anxiety they can die. So the Chachamim said, don't be anxious about money. If you want to give money to someone and he's not available and you can't make a kinyan, whatever you say goes, and rest assured it's going to be taken care of. So the Meir Takana de Rabbanan, Dibre Shchiv Meira, whatever the Shchiv Meira says, Kiksuvim Mechim Surindomi. If you need Ksiva, let's say to be Koine Karka, you need a Shtar. So he says, if I die from this, I'm laying in bed, if I die from this sickness, I want to, my business should go to this one, and my house should go to this child, or to this person. So you don't have to pick a child, anybody. Whatever you say goes. It's kiksuvin v'chim surin. If you need ksiva, it's considered like a made ksiva. If you need mesira, if you need ksiva or mesira, it's considered as if you need ksiva or mesira. So Dibre Shchimera is only a din with the Rabbanan. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein, the Raisa Tikkun. So where do you have on the level of the Raisa, where do you ever have a din that depends on a Shchimera? There is no halacha at all. Would they invent a new concept? So the Gemara raises the question on Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Maybe this din of Rabbi Yechemer Breika, the Gemara says we accept Rabbi Yechemer Breika's din. HaTorah Nostam Rishus Lav Lahan Chalachol Mishi Yirtza. We accept his din. So maybe since the Pasuk says V'hoya B'yom Hanchilu Azbana Beis HaShiyah Lo, maybe the din only applies if he's a Shchid Mira. Maybe Shchid Mira is a concept deraisa when you get to the ability to make a tzavur. Or maybe not. Maybe B'yom HaNachil Ezban just means he has the ability to make a tzavua whenever he wants at the age of 50. Maybe he can make a tzavua. it doesn't necessarily have to be when he's holding by being a shchemira. So the Gemara has a suffix. So if the normal din is, let's say, the normal din is my three sons get the Yerusha. I want to change the Yerusha. So I say, my son was a businessman. He should get 10%. The other two sons should each get 45%. That adds up to 100. So if I say it when I'm age 50, I'm not yet a shchemira, so the Gemara is mesupik whether the tzavua that I made is valid or not. So in the normal course of events, if I wouldn't have made a tzavua, each son is considered muhzak when I die. Each son is muhzak on 33%. So now this is fake the dina, whether the two sons whom I wanted to award 45%, do they get to 45%? So we would say muhzak hamotz mechaver olavarai. So suffik mamayna lekula. So in Shulchan Aruch, since the Gemara left it as a suffik in ibay deleif shita on kuf lamed aleph amen aleph, so we say misuffik. The two sons don't get the 45%. Only if I made the tzavua when I'm holding by shchimira, if I was a shchimira. If I'm not yet a shchimira, so the whole din of Rabbi Yechman Breker that you have the ability to make a tzavua wouldn't apply at all. So that's it. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yechman Breker's din. Hatar nastam shus la'av l'chanchil l'chol misha yirtza. We paskin it only applies to a shchimira. Very restricted already. And it only applies Bein Bet Abanim. One who's in line to get some of the Yerusha. Each son is in line to get 33% of the Yerusha. So I can juggle around the proportion. Say I want him to get 45%, 45%, 10%. You have to say in the positive, not say in the negative. Then there's another limitation. The pasuk says, L'yuchel l'bakas ben ha'ahuva al p'nei ben asnua ha'pchor. You cannot cheat. You can juggle around. See, in my situation, no one is a b'chor, because my two oldest children are girls. And the three sons who are allowed to get the whole Yerusha, each one 33%, no one is going to be a b'chor. What happens if one of the sons would be a b'chor? So then the Gemara says, no, that you cannot cheat the b'chor from the Pishnah. That's what it says in the Chumash. Even if you say in the positive, such a tzavor would not be valid. So that's a shailin din. What do you mean you cannot cheat the b'chor of the Pishnah? Lo yuchel l'vaker is ben ha'ahuva. Means, what does it mean, Pishnayim? Let's say, if I would have three sons, and one of the three would be the Pchor, one of the three would be the oldest child. So what does it mean, Pishnayim? So this was also a big, the conservative presentation is that the law used to be that Pishnayim means the Pchor gets two-thirds of the Yerusha. Then the rabbis saw over the years that this is causing tremendous friction, the Pchor is going to get two-thirds, so the rabbis changed it, and they said, we treat the Pchor as if he were two sons. So I have three sons, you treat the b'chor as if he were two, so you consider as if I have four sons. So the b'chor gets two-fourths, and each of the other two sons gets one-fourth. This is the way the conservative propaganda goes, and they say, just like the rabbis changed the laws because of societal considerations, so we can change the laws also. We have the same smicha that the rabbis had, so we can change the laws also. So it happens that the dinim amnes, he can change the laws, hefkebeznev, he can change the laws. But we have no Shemitz, there's no raya whatsoever that that's what Pishnayim means. Our tradition has it that that's what it always meant. Pishnayim never meant that he gets two-thirds. Their raya is that when Elio was walking with Elisha, and Elio Anovi knew that he was going to go up in a fiery chariot to heaven, so Elisha requested of him, can you give me sito that I should get Pishnayim Beruchacha? So the Talmudical tradition is, Pishnayim means I want to have twice the Koyach HaNevuah that you had. Eliyahu Navi was Mechaya one mace, and Elisha requested, and he was given, his wish was granted, he had the ability to be Mechaya Mason twice. He did Chiyas HaMason twice. So our tradition has it, that's what Pishnayim means, a double shear. The conservatives, their presentation is, that's ridiculous. Elisha Navi is such a chutzuf that he's asking to be twice as great a Navi as Eliyahu Navi. Must be that Pishnayim means two-thirds. They start off like this, Pishnayim means two-thirds. And then they say that's what the din always used to be, that Pishnayim, the Pchor, is entitled to two-thirds. He's getting two-thirds, and the man dies, he has 10 sons. So this guy gets two-thirds, and the other 9 children divide one-third. That's not fair. So the rabbis changed it in the later generations. We assume that that's not what it meant. We assume Pishnayim means you treat the Pchor as if he were 2 children. So if the man dies and he leaves 10 sons, you consider it as if he had 11 sons, and the Pchor gets 2 elevenths, and each one of the other children gets 1 eleventh. So here there's a big machlokes, strange machlokes, the Nebuki Yosef and the Rashash. Should have been in the same league. Nebuki Yosef was one of the Rishonim. Rashash is when the Vilna Shas was printed. He was the Rosh HaKohol in Vilna. Rashash was a wealthy, successful businessman. That's why he was the president of the Kehillah in Vilna. So this is a machlokes. What does it mean exactly in the Gemara that you cannot cheat the Bechor even if he's saying the positive? He didn't say in the negative. You cannot cheat the Bechor of the Pishnai. It means you cannot cheat him of the extra portion that he's entitled to because he's a Bechor. So let's say the man had 10 sons and he considered as if he had 11, and Bechor is entitled to 2 elevenths. So you cannot cheat him of 1 11th, but the other 11th he can cheat him. The Bechor is the wealthy businessman. The other 9 are sitting and learning. So the Bechor is entitled to 2 elevenths. He doesn't need 2 elevenths. But 1 11th I can't cheat him from. That's the Pish 9. But the 1 11th, that's the regular Yerusha, like all the other Pshutim, the Chelek HaPshitas, maybe that, with the Din of Rabbi Yechem HaBrokha, maybe that I can't cheat him from. Or should you say, no, you cannot cheat the Bechor of either the Chelek HaPshitas or the Chelek HaBchor. So this is Shailan Din, what the Halacha says. The Mishnayos say that Bechor is only noital pishnayim b'muchzok, aval lo b'ro'ui. What does it mean, ro'ui? So let's say, nichse davua da'aba, that's the original ro'ui. Let's imagine Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. So let's say, for argument's sake, it happened that it wasn't like that. Let's say Yitzchak Avinu dies before Avraham Avinu. That's not what happened. Let's say Yitzchak dies before. Yitzchak leaves 2 sons, Yankiv and Esav. Let's say, for argument's sake, Yankiv is the Bechor and Esav is the Pasha. That's not exactly the way it happened, but let's say Yankov is entitled to 2 portions and Esav is entitled to 1 portion. After Yitzchak Avinu dies, then Avram Avinu dies, and Yitzchak is what we call Yarshin's Bekever. He's not alive anymore. So a dead person can't own any money, so we call it he's Yarish Bekever Lahanchel Abanov. So Yaakov will not get a double portion in Nichsei Davua Da'abo in the Nechasim Avram Avinu because Yitzchak didn't have it at the moment of his death. When Yitzchak died, he didn't have that money yet. So that's called ro'ui. The pasuk says, "Asabchua ben asnua yakel losus lo pishnayim uchol asher yimotzei lo." Yimotzei means b'muchzak v'lo b'roy. Only in the money that he has already. Or let's say Yitzchak Avinu died. Yitzchak Avinu bought a lottery ticket, and he dies. And the drawing of the lottery is after he dies. So he won the money. The $100 million of the lottery or the sweepstakes ticket, whatever, the winning is after he died. So since he didn't have it while he was alive, so the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. That's ro'i. Ein ha'Bechor noital b'ro'i kibba muchsa. There is a machlokes hatanoim. What if the father lent out money to other people while he was alive? The father had the money and he lent it out, but he just didn't collect it back yet from the loivim until after he died. After he died, then they pay back all the money. So do you say a halvoah is considered muchzok because he had it already? Or you say no, a halvoah is considered roi because he lent it out and he didn't collect it back. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. We paskan that a halvoah is called roi. It's not called muchzok, so the bechor is not neutral pishnayim in the halvoah. The Gemara had one opinion, that's machlokes rebbe in a chachamim. So Tosis explains there are really 2 psukim. Losus lo pishnayim. One pasuk is b'chol asher yimotzei lo, the other drushes in the word losses lo pishnayim matana kai rachmana. I can't give a matana on something that I didn't have yet. Can't give a matana on a davish labaliyonim. So whatever the father didn't have at the time of death, he can't give over. So what he need to psukim? Toy says what he need to psukim to tell you the same din. Ein apchor natal beroy kim amuchzok. So the answer is the way we pass in la locha alva is also roy. It's not called muchzok. So they need one for the nichse davua da, but one for the case that's really roy. The sweepstakes ticket that the drawing only took place after the father died. And the other one goes, but the father had the money, he lent it out. And the other guy owed me the money, I just didn't collect it till after I died. That's also called ro'i, the b'chor doesn't get. So the Gemara has a discussion on this din, the way we paskin, that the b'chor doesn't get pishnayim. And the halvoah, maybe we should distinguish between a halvoah to a Jew as opposed to a halvoah to a non-Jew. One is called ro'i, one is called muchzuk. In which direction should you distinguish? So the old pshat was, if you lend the money to the guy, so you'll be more assured of collecting it back. If you lend the money to the Jew, you can kiss it goodbye. So if you lend the money to a non-Jew, then it's called muchzok. If you lend the money to a Jew, then it's called roy. So the Rashbam said, that's utterly ridiculous. How can it be? So he thinks the girsa should be the reverse. You're more positive of collecting it back if you lent it to a Jew than if you lent it to a non-Jew. What is the first girsa? How can there be such a girsa? So the Or Sameach explains what that girsa meant. He says, look in the Sefer Melachim, The story is told, the Almona came to Elisha Novi and she says, we just had it recently in a Haftarah. She says, her husband died and her husband had borrowed money and he never paid back all the money. Eishes Havadiah HaNovi. And Hanoshe Bolakachas is Shnei Yolodai. The Balichoibis are coming to take my children as slaves because my husband never paid the money. What kind of a din is that? So the Osamech quotes a Taisus and Masechus Avodah Zarah that at that time Achav was the Melech, and Achav and Izevel, they used to judge with the Dinei Bnei Noach. They followed the non-Jewish law. So by us, there's a din, v'nimka b'gnevasa v'lo b'chovo. You have a machruhu bezdin, and Eved Ivri is, it can be machruhu bezdin if a person stole from someone else. V'nimka b'gnevasa, if he stole money and he doesn't have money to pay back, so Eved, the bezdin sells him as an Eved Ivri. What if a person owes money? He borrowed money. He didn't steal. He borrowed money and never paid back the halvor. So the Tanoim have a drasha. V'nimka b'gnevasa v'lo b'chovo. There's no such thing as debt as prison, and no such thing as selling a person as a slave because he borrowed money and he never paid back. So b'dinei b'nei noach, there was such a thing. So that's what the Or Sameach explains in that girsa. The old girsa in the Gemara was the girsa. The Gaonim had that girsa. If you lend the money to the non-Jew, you're more secure of collecting because even if he doesn't have any money, you can sell him as a slave. In non-Jewish law, dinim, if in the Shevim Mitzvah dinim, you have a right to sell the loiva as a slave if he doesn't pay. But if you lend the money to a Jew, so you can't sell him as a slave. So if he doesn't have any money to pay back, so you'll never get your money back. So that was the old girsa. And the new girsa, the Rashbam quotes the new girsa, whenever you're more secure, whichever direction, whenever you're more secure of collecting your halvoya, maybe we should consider that as a muhzak, and the b'chor should get pishnayim. So the maskanas agmar does make a difference. Whether you lent milva balpeh, lent milva bishtar, you're more secure of collecting, does make a difference. Whether you lent the money to a Jew, lent the money to a non-Jew, even if you're secure of collecting, it's still considered ro'i, it's not considered muhzak. So in the Tshuvas Nadi Yehuda, we have a shaila. What if a person put money in a savings account? So if I put money in a safe deposit vault and the money sits there, so that's mamasha pikadon, so that's muhzak. I can go to the bank and take my money, it sits there. If I put money in a savings account, and they're paying interest, not paying interest, whatever, that's a halvor. The bank spends the money, they do whatever they want, and then they give me back the money when I ask for it with a little bit of interest. But the banks are federally insured. In the 1700, the Nadi Behuda lived also, the banks were federally insured. So it's highly unlikely that the bank is going to default. You're pretty positive that you're going to collect all the money. Or let's say I bought government bonds. I lent the money to the government, not federally insured. I lent the money to the federal government. Sometimes the government will default on their bonds also. They won't pay back the money. But that's much more secure than lending to a Jew, lending to a Goy, lending Milva Bishtar, Milva Balpeh, all the cases in the Gemara. This is child's play. We're talking federally insured banks or have federal bonds. The government borrowed the money and the government's going to pay back. Once in a while the government collapses and they don't pay back, but it happens very rarely. So the shoyel in the Tshuvas Nadi Yehuda, raised the possibility that maybe that should be considered muhzak. Maybe that shouldn't be considered rohi. Nadi Yehuda says it doesn't make a difference who borrowed the money. The Gemara had originally a havamina, it makes a difference, milva bishtar, milva balpeh, lending to a Jew, lending to a non-Jew. Once you get to the maskana, it doesn't make a difference. So all halvoras are considered ro'i, and it doesn't matter how secure you are of collecting back. So that's a question, do we paskin like the shoyel, or do we paskin? The Nadi Yehuda printed, he wants you to follow his opinion. Some of the later paskin thought that it's not so poshut that we should follow the Nadi Yehuda. So if you look in the Mar Mikomis here there's a tshuva by Rav Yitzchok Chonon that was sent here on page 1 and 2, for those who have the Marmikaimis. This is a tshuva by Rav Yitzchok Chonon that was sent to the rabbi in Frankfurt, Rabbi Horowitz, who is the rabbi in Frankfurt. So Rav Yitzchok Chonon thinks that maybe the din is like the shoyl, maybe federally insured. Aruch HaShulchan also raises such a possibility. Maybe if it's so positive you're going to get the money back, maybe the din is like the shoyl, that it is called muhzak. They say that Rav Moshe Feinstein felt like that. That The money in the bank, he can go any time you want to go with it. During bank hours, he can't go in the middle of the night. He can go. He take out a few $100 with a card. You can take out money. And if you come in the daytime, you can take out all of your money. The bank is not mechuyev to give you $100,000 in cash, but there's a limit how much they mechuyev to have on the premises to give you back. But usually, if it's not way too much, they'll give you even $50,000 on the spot to give you back all the money. So Moshe was of the opinion that not only is the halvua in the bank considered muchzak, because the way I was told, it wasn't because it's federally insured. He just said you can go to the bank at any time; they'll give it back upon request. They give you back all the money if they'll have that much money in the house. They'll give you all the money. So he thought not only carrying even the ribbis. Let's say I put money in a savings account and it accumulates interest. So the interest I never had in my hands. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion, even the interest that accumulated before the father died, everything is called muchzak, and the bechor is entitled to bishnayim. So this is a shayla halacha lemaisa, because when people die, they don't have money, and people today don't stuff money in their mattresses. They don't leave money in safe deposit vaults. They leave the money in banks, savings accounts, or something like that. So that's a halvoy that you're pretty sure you're going to get all the money back. So that's a major question. It's also relevant to the din habal yerush es ishtoi. The din is that we mentioned a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether it's a din derais, a din derabanan. But bottom line, the din is that when a wife dies, the husband gets the erusha. So the din over there is also habal yerush es ishtoi is only b'muchzok and not b'ra'oi. Let's say the wife died and she bought a sweepstakes ticket, and after she died, then they have the drawing and she wins. So the din is that the husband doesn't yarsh in that. Or let's say the wife died. They were married for many years. The wife died. After the wife died, then her father dies. Then she gets a Yerushin. The father died, left only daughters, left no sons. So the daughter is in line, but the daughter died before her father died. So that's Ra'ui. So the husband, you don't say the wife yarshins from her father, Bekever, and she gives it over to her husband. She died already, so they're not related anymore. So the husband doesn't yarshim b'ra'ui ki b'muchzak. So this is a big machlekes in Rishonim. What about halvoy? The Gemara had a machlekes whether halvoy is considered ra'ui or muchzak with respect to the p'chor getting pishnayim. And we paskin, the Gemara paskins on halacha that a p'chor does not get pishnayim on a halvoy, that it's considered ra'ui, it's not considered muchzak. So would you say the same with respect to habal yerush es ishtoi? The wife died. Very common. The wife died and the wife was very wealthy. Let's say the wife was previously married. It's a second marriage. The wife was previously married, and she had a lot of Yerusha from before, so she has all of her money invested in savings accounts. Then when she dies, do her children get the Yerusha? She has children from the first husband. So do her sons get the Yerusha? They say, no, habal Yerusha es ishtoi. The question being, the money in the bank, money in the savings account. So if you hold that money in the savings account is muchzak, like Rav Moshe, like the Shoylin and the Yehuda, like the Aruch HaShulchan, so muchzak, so the husband is entitled to get that. But if you hold like the Nadi Behuda, I personally thought, whatever it's worth, I thought Nadi Behuda was right. I thought, based on the understanding of the Gemara, that all halvos, it doesn't, once the Gemara comes to the maskana, that it does make a difference whether the loive is a Jew or a non-Jew, it means it's called ra'oi because you don't have the money. You don't have the money. It's not because you may never see the money. Even if it's a badois, you're going to see the money. So that's a shaila. If you hold that all havos are considered roya, not muchzak, so would you say that it's been again to pishnayim by the b'chor? Would you say the same din carries over to habal yerush es ishtoi, that the husband is not entitled to get the Yerusha at all? Many years ago, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, I was told, they showed me documents, that Rav Unterman's second wife passed away. Rav Unterman at that time was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. His first wife had passed away, so his zivik sheni, he married the almana of Rav Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman was the Rashiv in Torah V'das, and she was a wealthy woman. So when she died, she had a lot of money in savings accounts. So there's a whole din Torah in the Beis Din of Tel Aviv. That's the big Beis Din. It's the Beis Din of Tel Aviv, big Talmid Chachamim. Whether Rav Unterman was entitled to the Yerusha, the money went to the children from the first husband, or to her brothers. I don't remember if she had any children from the first husband. Maybe it goes, if the husband doesn't yarsh, it goes to her relatives, it doesn't go to him. So that was part of the issue, whether the din of Eina bal notel b'roi kem amuchzik, is it identical? The dinim of roi are the same by a bal yerush as ishtoi, doesn't get b'roi. Or maybe I should say, no, maybe this din that a halvoa is considered roi is not muchzik. Maybe that's only when it gets to the din of pchor, when it gets to a bal yerush as ishtoi, maybe everything is considered muchzik. So this is a fundamental machlokes harishayim, and it's a shayla had a paskin. The Ri Megash stands out, the Ri Megash and possibly the Rambam, and Magen Mishnah thinks the Rambam agrees with the Ri Megash. Ri Megash stands out, he's the one who says that it's different. The definition of Roy, when it gets to Abal Yerush Es Ishtoi, is not identical with the definition of Roy, when it gets to B'chor Notel Pishnayim. And Tosfos in Bchoiris and Daf Nun, and Tosfos in Bava Basra and Yesh Nechon, Tosfos always says it's exactly the same, the dinim are the same. So just like a halvoa that wasn't collected until after death is considered ro'i, when it gets to the b'chor getting pishnayim, the same is true when it gets to the bal yerush es ishtoi, he doesn't get. So I remember at that time there was a big sichsuch. In recent years, I sent a letter to someone from the Rabbanut, and I wanted to know what was the maskana of the din Torah. So it took a couple of months. I get back a letter. They have no record of such a din Torah. Never happened. Okay, never happened. But I remember what happened was, I was in Eretz Yisrael, so they came to one of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Miri Yeshiva, they came to Rabbeinish Finkel, and they were talking to him about the Din Torah, so he was making fun of me. So he said to, in Yiddish, he said, he's a rabbi. Ask him, he knows how to pass, he's a rabbi. So they showed me the documents, and they were trying to cover up the names, but the name appeared so many times, so it was impossible to cover up all the names. So the way it looked to me, this was a Chief Rabbi Unterman, wanted to get the Yerusha from his second wife. So that was a Din Torah that's no longer on the books. Okay. The Gemara has a klal. Loitehe bavuri achasanto. Number 5 in the Marmikaimas, those who have the sheets. The Gemara says, a man should not be mavanachla from his children. Even if the children weren't so wonderful to him, he should not be mavanachla. So the Gemara tells the story, Yosi ben Yoezer was a Tana. He was one of the Zugas. He lived in Manabayas. So Yosef ben Yoezer was a Tana, and his son was not a Tana. His son was a nice religious balabos. He didn't learn Daf Yomi. He liked filling every day, davening. He kept the mitzvahs nicely. So he was so upset why the son didn't learn. Why the son, he had an opportunity to become a Tana like he. I could have taught him Kol HaTorah. He didn't. So he was upset, so he cut him out of his, he donated all of his money. How much did he have already? He didn't teach him why you. He hardly had any money. So he donated all of his money to the Beis Hamikdash. All the Tanaim told me, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to be Baba Nachla. That's against the din. He says he's not going to leave it to the son. So then the Gemara tells a story. The son didn't get a penny from the father. And then the Gemara tells a story where the son donated, the son was Ismis, and the son donated more money to the Beis Hamikdash than the father ever had in his whole lifetime. And the Gemara says he did wrong. You're not supposed to do that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what if the children are not religious? One of the children married a non-Jewish spouse. A different story. But we're talking, the children are not so religious. They didn't mekayim kibud ab so nicely. If the son gave absolute aggravation, recently a rabbi called me up. There was an instance years ago. The son broke off, after he got married, broke off relations with the parents, never called to say good Shabbos, good Yontif. When he had children, he had a big family, he never told the parents about the bris, about the children. After many years, he finally invited the father to the bar mitzvah, one or two. It wasn't in contact for 15 years. Ridiculous. The kid was nuts. So the father had suffered such agmas nefesh from that son, so he wanted to leave, I think the father's still alive, he wanted to make a will and leave him out from his tzavah. So he caused such extreme agmas nefesh. That's a different story. But under normal circumstances, the Gemara says you shouldn't be mava nachla, even from a bad son. Even from a bad son to a good son, it's not proper. Then the Gemara says not only is it improper for the father to leave such a will, to make such a document, it's improper for you to advise him. You shouldn't be the lawyer to fill it out or the secretary to type it. No one should be involved in such a thing to be mava nachla. So let's say a person wants to leave a lot of money to charity. The Gemara says in Ksubis, and Afnun Hamavazvez Ayavazvez Yosem Mechomish, if you want to donate money to charity while you're alive, So the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu, when he's running away from Esav, promises, he takes a neder, Kol asher titen li aser ha'asren uloch. I'll give one tenth and another tenth to tzedakah. So the Gemara learns that he's going to give one tenth and another tenth is one fifth, 20%. So it's not proper to give more than 20% for tzedakah. Charity begins at home. You're going to give too much to tzedakah, so you may become poor. So the Gemara says that whole rationale only makes sense. Calls man the person is alive. So the Gemara recommends you shouldn't give too much to tzedakah. Unless you're a multimillionaire, so you have so much money, he's not going to go poor. He's richer than everybody put together. Then Tosfos says you're allowed to give more than chaimish. But a normal person, it just makes a normal parnasa. So the Gemara recommends you should never give more than one fifth. For tzedakah. But then the Gemara says in Ksubas, but if you're about to die, then you can give more than one fifth. You can give more than 20%. There's no chasher shem yoni v'tzarech labi. He's holding by dying. So this was always the practice. And if you look in the Sefer Chaim Avraham and the Mishmer Shalom under Tzavo, under the letter Tzad, he quotes many svarim from Achrayim. This was the practice based on the pasuk v'halach lefanecha tzidkecha, that tzedakah, you should have, you try to have the tzedakah distributed before the burial, if that's possible. Usually today, a guy leaves a will, and he leaves in the will how much money he wants to leave to this and this tzedakah. Takes forever. Has to be cleared by the attorney general, and has to go to the government. It takes forever till you give the money to the tzedakah. But if it's not going to take, if it's not so complicated, so better is, if you can make out all the checks, give the checks to the tzedakah before the kvura. V'halach lefanecha tzidkecha. Some people had tainus. There was someone who died. He davened at Rabbi Luchstein Shul. He was an Orthodox man. He had no children. So they convinced him he should leave money to yeshiva. And then someone convinced him he should leave money to the Jewish Theological Seminary. So they had to testify in court that they fooled him into that. He was an Orthodox man. He would never leave a penny to the... He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what Jewish Theological Seminary was. So they testified in court, and the court canceled that. They didn't give. They gave the money to the yeshiva. They didn't give the money to the seminary. So his nephews and his nieces, he had left no children. So he left all the money to tzedakah. So his nephews and his nieces had tainus. Why the yeshiva took the money? People should give charity while they're alive. They shouldn't wait till after they die to give the charity. And they were mava nachle from the nephews and the nieces. So. This would have ruined a lot of business for all the yeshivas in the world if you're going to take this time. So all the classical poskim write about that. There's nothing wrong to leave money to charity, but you shouldn't be mamon nachla completely. So whoever was in line, he had no children, but he had nephews and nieces. So whoever the nephews, if you have nephews and nieces, whoever was in line to get Yerusha, you have to leave something for them. You're not allowed to be mamon nachla to take everything. You can give more than 20% to tzedakah, but you shouldn't give 100%. Yosef ben Yezer gave 100% of what he had. All of his assets came to the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't leave anything for his son, the Balabas, who didn't turn out to be a Tana. So as long as you leave a little bit for the children, that's not called Mavon Nachla. So that's a big debate. How much do you have to leave for the Yorshim, whoever the Yorshim are? In that case of this Balabas from Rabbi Luchstein Shul, the Yorshim were nephews and nieces because he had no descendants at all. But how much do you have to leave? So the Tzais HaChoshen quotes a tshuva from the Gaonim, based on a Mishnah in Ksubis, if you leave four dinarim, $100, shang, you know. So all the posts can reject that. They think that that's a joke. We don't follow that. There's a din in the Mishnah about that, when you get to a certain din, but they don't accept that. So some of the posts can hold it, you have to leave 51%, you have to leave slightly more than half of the Yerusha for the Yorshim, and 49% you can give to Tzedok. There was a prominent Tamachachim, Rabbi Chaim Michel Tukuchinsky, who wrote the three volumes of the Gesher HaChaim, all the Hilchas Avelos. So that was his opinion. He followed that sheet that you have to leave Roiv for the Yorshim, and then 49% you can give away to Tzedakah. So his son, Nissen Tukuchinsky, wrote the Hakdamah to the reprinting of the Svarim Gesher HaChaim. So he wrote in Hakdamah, my father died. He was in his right mind. He did everything the way he has in a sefer. He told him, open the window, light a candle, everything. When I died, put me on the floor, everything. And he says that his father gave, right before he died, he gave away 49% to tzedakah, and 51% he left for the Yorshim in accordance with his shittas. Everything he followed his shittas. So Moshe writes in his tshuvas, Chelek HaShemish, but we don't really follow that opinion that you have to leave 51% for the Yorshim. We follow the Chasam Sofer, the Pischi Tshuva, and Hilchas Nachlas quotes this Chasam Sofer, quotes all the Shittas, the four dinarim with the 51%. And the consensus is, like the Chasam Seif, you have to leave a significant amount for each one of the Yorshim, and then you can give all the rest to Tzedok. So Ramosha's Shuvah was written centuries ago. So he writes, if you leave $1,000 for each Yorish, that's a Matana Haguda. Today it's a little bit of a joke. $1,000, you can buy a cigar. What can you buy with $1,000? You can buy some underwear, some pajamas. So what can you buy with $1,000? So in every generation, you have to figure out what's a significant amount. Doesn't have to be that significant. Significant amount for each one of the Yorshim, and then if you want, you can leave all the rest. You can leave all the rest to Tzedakah, even though it's way more than 50%. You can leave all the rest for Tzedakah. So the question is: let's say a person leaves such a will, he's leaving money to Tzedakah. What do you mean? Tzedakah is not in line to get the Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brek only says in the Mishnah, even if the guy's a Shchimera at the time, even if he's a Shchimera at the time, and he says, I want to leave money for Tzedakah, Tzedakah is not aligned to get any Yerusha. So the Din D'Oraisa can't apply over here. It's not Bein Bein Amorim. So what are you going to say? The Din D'Rabbanon applies. Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim V'chim Mesurin Dami. So the Gemara says also not. Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim V'chim Mesurin Dami. The Gemara says, Ki Yerusha Shavyu Rabbanon. You treat it as if it were Yerusha. It has to be, if I'm a ger, and I don't have any yorshim at all. So then I can't. The din of divrei shchimera kiksuv v'chim surin dami doesn't apply. I'm sure we're cousins. We may be maybe 10th cousins. We're both Jewish. If everybody in between died and I died, then you get the yerusha. You could be directly in line. I have 1,000 relatives in between. You're the 10th cousin. You're not in line to get the Yerusha. So there's a din with the Rabbanon. We treat it as if everybody in between is dead, and you're the closest relative. But if you're giving to a ger, I'm a ger, he's a ger, I'm giving to a tzedakah organization. So the tzedakah organization, even if everybody in the whole wide world is dead, the tzedakah organization is not a person who can be related to me. So the Pashto says that Divrei Shchimera wouldn't apply in such a case. So what can apply over here? Well, let's say you want to leave money to dear friends. They're not aligned to get Yerusha. Forget about Tzedakah. You want to leave money to dear friends. So how can you accomplish that? So the Gemara has another kalal, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. That's also a din m'derabbanan. It's not a din m'nator. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. The Gemara talks in dinim amanus. If a person leaves instructions, when I die, give so-and-so $1,000, give so-and-so $20,000, so you have to give all the money. So we have to assume, all the Rishonim say, you must assume that there are some limitations to this principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. In Gittin Daf Yud Gimel, Tosfos has kashas from all over Shas. The Gemara talks about a guy, before he died, he left instructions, and after he died, the money doesn't go to the recipient, to the one whom he wanted to. What happened to the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? It wasn't the Shchimera, so the din of Divrei Shchimera the Rabbanon can apply. Why don't we apply this principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? So Tosfos is a big fat Tosfos in Bava Basra. They have around five suggestions how you have to restrict it. One suggestion is it also only applies if it's a royal yarsho. If all the relatives in between would be dead, so then you would get it. So also it has to be royal yarsho. But a guy's not royal yarsho, it wouldn't apply. There are different suggestions how you. It's muchrach from the Gemara, you have to restrict the din somehow. So in Shulchan Aruch, the opinion that's quoted is the one that Tosfos in Gittin quotes. Tosfos in Bava Basra quotes quite a few suggestions. Tosfos in Gittin only has one suggestion, that namely it only applies if hushlash metchila lekach. While I was alive, not just I left instructions, when I die, give him $1,000. I give you $1,000 now, and I say, when I die, give the money over to him. So it's revocable. It doesn't have to be an irrevocable trust. Revocable trust, but let's say I put the money in a bank account. When I die, it's a revocable trust. If it's irrevocable, there's avada good. There's avada say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But even if it is revocable, but I gave the money to the bank and I said, when I die, I have 35 grandchildren, I'm putting $1,000 or $20,000, $1 million, whatever, however much money I have, I leave the money in a trust account for this and this grandchild. So that's hushlish mitchila lekach. The money was given over for that purpose. If you're holding on to let's say I have money in the bank, I have money in a savings account, And then before I die, I say, give the money to this one. That's not called hushlash mentchila lekach. It wasn't given over to the bank for that sake. But if I made out a trust account, then it was given over to the bank for that purpose. Hold it in trust for this job. So if you need hushlash mentchila lekach, so then that'll significantly limit the application. That's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. You only apply mitzvah lekam de ramesiv is hushlash mentchila lekach. The money was given over. So the question is, but throughout all the generations, the practice used to be that people would leave tzavos, that they want, after they die, that the Yorshim should give money to tzedakah. And and it was never hushlish mentchila lekach. So why were any of these, why were any of the tzavos ever binding? So Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva in Achiezer, where he writes, here it's in number 6, the Mar Mekaymes, Achiezer Chel Gimel Simel Lamed Daled. Rav Chaim Moshe writes that since we have a din in Hegdish, Amirosa la Gavoya, Kimisirosa la Hed Yedomi. Whenever you want to give something to Hegdish, Hegdish doesn't have to make a kinyan on it. I just say, I hereby donate this table to Hegdish. I donate all the money in the bank to Hegdish. So if I would have made a kinyan, it would have been valid. So just Amira constitutes a kinyan. Amirosa la Gavoya to Hegdish, Kimisirosa la Hed Yedomi. So it happens that there's a major machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, whether Amirasa la Gavoya Kimsirasa la Hedyadami applies only to Hegdish, to Gavoa, or even applies to Tzedakah. Here there was such a case a couple of years ago. He's not here, okay. A couple of years ago there was a case, someone from South America died, and he had pledged to give whatever, $100,000 to Tzedakah, to the local yeshiva, and then he died. And he left a son and a daughter. So the daughter is a very religious woman, and her son is learning for smicha here in yeshiva. And the son of the man lives in South America, and he's not observant, he's not interested in fulfilling the father's pledge. So the father died, he never paid up the money. So if a guy didn't like tefillin, he can't put on tefillin after he's dead. He didn't eat matzah, not going to help, you're going to push the matzah down his throat after he's dead, he can't be mekayem ani meisim chavshim. So you're going to pay the money to the tzedakah after he dies, he will not be in fulfillment of the neder. He won't be call yet to me, he can't fulfill it. So if a pledge to tzedakah is only on neder, so gishtor min gishtor, he's dead, so he can't fulfill the pledge. But the question is, if you say amirasa l'gavoya kim sirasa l'had yadami, is not restricted only to gavoa, it even applies to tzedakah, so then the tzedakah is entitled to the $100,000. He made a pledge, not only a mitzvah of layachal dvar chalayetz mepiv yaseh, it's in dini mamonis also. So this was a big machlokes in the 1500s between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Ramah. The Ramah lived in Krakow in Poland. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzfat in Eretz Yisrael, but they corresponded. So you have in the tshuvas of Ramah, and you have the tshuvas of Kisrochel of the Beis Yosef, they had a machlokes. So the Beis Yosef held that it does apply to tzedakah, and the Ramah held that it doesn't apply to tzedakah. It only applies to Beis HaMikdash. You look in the... At that time, a couple of years ago, when the Shaila came up, so someone asked Rabbi Moshe Weiss, the merit of his soul, so he wrote a Gantz Tshiva, and he said, it doesn't apply. Amirosa L'Gavaya, it doesn't apply. We follow the Ramah. The Pashtus is like Rabbi Chaim Moshe wrote. Rabbi Chaim Moshe wrote that it does apply. Amirosa L'Gavaya does apply to Tzedakah. And you look in the Pizchei Tshuva, he quotes Chassam Sofer, the Pashtus is, all the poskim assume, like Rabbi Yosef Kara, not like the Ramah. Even though usually Ashkenazim follow the Ramon, the Sfarim usually follow the Rabbi Yosef Kara. But over here, it wouldn't appear so. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe writes like this, since there is a, he assumes there is a principle, Amirasa la Gavoya, Kim Sirasa la Hed Yedomi, not only to Gavoya, to Hegdish, even to Tzedakis. So if it would have been Hushlish Mentchila Lekach, if the person before he died would have put the money into a trust account, and I say, when I die, I give the money to Pliny. So here also, if he leaves instructions, after I die, give money to tzedakah, it was never hushlish, and never gave it over, but since with back to tzedakah, there's no need for any kinyonim, we say amirasai is kimsi rasai, so we treat it as if it would have been hushlish b'nchilu l'kach. That's Rabbi Chaim Moshe writes. So that's usually assumed, like he said, if a person leaves a tzavor, he makes a tzavor at the age of 50, and whenever, he keeps on changing the tzavor. So whatever money he leaves for tzedakah is considered like hushlish mentchila lekach, and that's binding, that's mitzvah lekayim de remes. Shadis, what if he wants to leave money to the daughters? That's not a charitable institution. So already the Ramah quotes from the from the Rishonim. If you're going to follow what it says in Chumash, the daughters are going to never forgive the father. I have six daughters and three sons. The daughters will never forgive me if I'm only going to leave the Yerusha to the sons, not to the daughters. That's what it says in Chumash, but the girls are not happy about it. So in the Ramah quotes from the earlier generations, they had an institution that you give the girls a shtar chatzi zachar. You make kinyonim and you leave in your tzavoy. We'll have to discuss how you accomplish that. You leave in your tzavoy that you give each daughter half the amount that each one of the sons are going to get. Rabbi Goldwicht says in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he felt that bizman hazeh, the winds that are blowing are such that the girls, the daughters will never forgive the father if he leaves them only half a share. But boy, he better leave them an equal share to the sons, or they'll never forget it. I know families where the father left the tzavua to, there were daughters and son, there was one son and a few daughters, and the father left the tzavua to give each one of the daughters a smaller share of the son, and they're still upset 30 years after the father died. They're still upset about why the father didn't give them an equal share. So Shlomo Zalman said, you should give an equal share. Fine. So how do you do that? So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva. He says, if it's the father leaving a tzavoya, so it's kibirav. Itam kibirav demechuyev. If the man dies, let's say this balabas from Rabbi Luchstein Shul, who died, and he didn't have any children, and the money should have gone to his nieces and nephews, so there's no din of kibirav over there. But if it's if the children of the one who died are the ones who have the estate, then it's mitam kibirav. So Rabbi Kiveger. So then it should be binding. The thing is that it's hard to rely on that, because if there's money involved, even if it's $2 involved, people will not fulfill Kibbut Aviyah. There are religious Jews, Hasidish, Misnagdish, they'll go to court and they'll fight everything out and they'll just ignore the fact that they knew clearly that the father left instructions, Bitam Kibbut Aviyah, he wants this, they'll ignore the Kibbut Aviyah. The din is you're not Kofan Kibbut Aviyah. So it's a problem. You can't just rely on kibbutav. You have to make it legally binding. Rabbi Kivega in the Tshuva discusses, how can it be midin kibbutav? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, kibbutav is mishalav, below mishal bein. Let's say my father wants to visit Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Herschel, maybe you make arrangements. I should go visit Eretz Yisrael. So I say, give me your credit card. I'll be happy to take it. He says, your credit card. Kibbutav, your credit card, not my credit card. So the Gemara has a shayla. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, kibbutav is mishalav, below mishal bein. If the father has money, I'm not mechuyev to give the money for my father has money. So I'll do the work. I'll call up the hotel, and I'll drive him to the airport, I'll carry his luggage, and I'll buy the ticket for him. I'll make the phone calls, but it has to be his money. I'm not mechuyev to spend money, mitam kibbutav. So Rabbi Kivega says that there were those who tainted that the Yorshim get the Yerusha from the father, and the father leaves the tzavo, he wants them to give an equal share to the daughters as the sons, but once the father dies, the money belongs to the son. So that's kibbutav mishal bein. The sons are not mechuyev to spend money to fulfill kibbutav. Rabbi Kivega says he doesn't agree with that. He says this is kibbutav mishalav. Now, right now, when the father makes the tzavua, the money belongs to the father. So he's telling the children, after I die, I want you to give an equal share to the sisters as to you. So strictly speaking, Rabbi Kivega thinks that it is covered with kibbutav. So if you have children whom you know are going to follow kibbutav, how can you have the Ruach HaKodesh going to follow kibbutav? From the most religious families, Hasidish families, they're in court for centuries over $2 of Yerush. They'll spend more money on the court case than the whole Yerush is, matter of principle. So you have to do something that should be legally binding. So that's the shayla. The father wants to give the daughters an equal share to the sons. He wants to give chatzi zochar, half the amount that the sons get. So how can he accomplish this? How can he accomplish this? So the easiest way to do it is the father. This is not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. I'll discuss what it says in Shulchan Aruch soon. The easiest way to do it is the following. If the person can guess how much money is he going to have at the time that he dies, he's not going to have $100 million. He's not going to have $100 million. He's not going to have, I don't think I'll have $90 million. I have 9 children, so let me make a hischayv. I owe a debt, each one of the 9 children, I owe $1 million. So when I die, all of my assets go to the three sons, 33%, 33%, 33%. But they got the Yerusha, they have to pay all the debts. So I owe $1 million to each one of the nine children that I have. So they have to pay up all the debts. They got the Yerusha. I don't have. What did I say? $90 million. I obligated myself $10 million to each one of the nine children. So when I die, I don't have $90 million. So they're going to clean them out. They'll collect from the Yerusha. Each one of the three sons will collect their $10 million, and each one of the six daughters will collect their $1 million. There is $90 million. Each one will get proportionately. They will get the same amount. So that's one way. Nobody gets any Yerusha. The three sons get the Yerusha, 33%, 33%, 33%. Then they have to pay all the chayvus. So it comes out, if they pay all the chayvus, I'm not going to have 90 million. So each one will get 1/9 of the Yerusha. Shine v'naim aramin. If there's a p'chor, so you're not allowed to cheat the p'chor from the pishnaim. So that was the machloikis. What does it mean? You can't cheat the p'chor from the pishnaim. Only from the chelak ha-p'chora, or from the chelak ha-p'shitus. And then the p'chor is only titled to pishnaim in the muchzok and not in the ro'oi. So that's the shalom. What's called the muchzok? So let's say the person owns the home where he lives. So that's the muchzok. The money in the bank and the savings account, that's the big machlekes. Whether that's called muchzok or roi. So that's a shalom. How much, to what extent can you not cheat the p'chor? If you don't have a p'chor, life is much easier. Okay. A lot of times, let's say a person wants to give the daughters also, okay? But when he dies, he wants to leave the whole Yerusha to his wife. When the wife, if he assumes the wife, he's going to die first, he's older than his wife, he's going to die for his family, then the wife will die after him. So he wants to make out a will that when he dies, all the money should go to his wife. His wife is not aligned to get any Yerusha. So if he's not afraid, the children will violate Kibrav. Okay, but how can you ever trust the children that they can go to a Din Torah? And the Bezin will say, the wife only gets the Ksuba, and the children get the Yerusha. And the bezin will not be kaif on kibbutz. The Gemara says in Kol Abasa, you're not kaif on kibbutz. So the mitzvah says that shematan schar betzita. So what can the husband do to see to it that his wife should get the whole Yerusha? So he can say the same thing. He makes it his chayvus. He thinks when he dies, he's not going to have $100 million. So he makes it his chayvus. I obligate myself to give my wife $100 million. So when he dies, the Yerusha goes to the children, to the three sons. But then the wife collects everything because he made it his chayvus. The only thing is, can you make it? How do you create a his chayvus moment? How do you create a his chayvus moment? You make a kinyan suder. It's distasteful to make a kinyan with the wife. The wife is going to give a handkerchief to the husband to talk about dying. So I have a Jewish lawyer. So the Jewish lawyer gives a handkerchief to the husband as representing the wife, just like at a chasana. The Masada Kiddushin or the Yadin give a handkerchief to the chasana representing the kala. The kala should really give the handkerchief. He said, "Bekelav chalipin has to be bekelav shel kaina." So the kaina is the kala. For the ikaksuba, you don't need. The ikaksuba is a tanai bezin, but for the tosefes ksuba and for the nedunya, for that you need the kabbalas kinyan suda. So really, the kala should come into the room and give her handkerchief to the chasen. So Tosis writes in Kiddushin on the Abchav Zayin, there's no need for the kala to come into the room. The rabbanim give it midin evet kanaini. Kinyan suda, just like evet kanaini, is good for for kesef, sevaknayin is good for suder as well. And that's what every shtar is like, the konina minei, but modern the kashal and mekanyim. We, the undersigned, made the Kabbalah's kinyin. What do I mean? We, the undersigned, the koina should make the kinyin. So Taisa said, it's Bara Gemara, that was the practice. The Eidim would make the Kabbalah's kinyin. That was the normal text. The Gemara has that text of the shtar. You always write, the konina minei, we, the undersigned, made the kinyin. So the lawyer gives a handkerchief to the man who's making out a will. And he says, I hereby obligate myself to give my wife $100 million so that when he dies, she's going to clean out, she'll take the whole Yerusha. So the shaila is, though, what if he doesn't get along with his wife and they get divorced? She's going to clean him out. She'll go collect all the money. So he doesn't want it to have the right to collect. So maybe he'll say, he makes the Kabbalah's Kinyan Suder, he owes his wife $100 million collectible after I die. She should only have the right to collect it after I die. So the Gemara says, Ein Kinyan Lahamisa. You can't make such a Kinyan. You can't make a Hischaivis Mammon that only takes effect after I die. Can you make a Kinyan Suder? So can you say, I'm making a Kinyan Suder that should be Chal the day before I die? Is that valid? Make a Kinyan Suder. So most of the Rishonim hold that you can never make a kinyan suda lachazman. It's called sekinyana. The Rambam stands alone. The Rambam in the Perek Aleph in Hilchos Mechira says you can, just like you can make a shtar lachalamid, and you can make kinyan kesev lachalamid, harem kudeshesli lachalamid yom, so make a suda lachalamid also. And because Mishnah there quotes from the Ran and the Dorim. The Ran and Dorim disagrees. Most of the Rishonim hold like the Ran. You can never make a kinyan chalip and lachalamid, but shtar you can make lachalamid. Usually that's what the lawyers do. The lawyer writes a kinyan shtar, and the husband writes, I hereby obligate myself to give my wife $100 million. Sure. So if he's going to say, I obligate myself to give my wife $100 million after I die, ain't kinyan lachamisa. That's not valid. So you say, I obligate myself to give my wife $100 million the day before I die. The day before I die is called Ein Brera. That's called Ein Brera. You don't know when it's going to be. Till after he dies, then it's a Igloi Muslim Afreya, the Kenya Maschal yesterday. The Gemara says, let's say a man is holding by the end and he doesn't have any children, and if his wife, he's going to die, his wife is going to need Chalitza, his brother is a Meshugana. So he doesn't want the wife to have to go through the ordeal of having Chalitza from his brother, he's going to give her a hard time. So he gives his wife a gift, he divorces his wife, but he divorces his wife, so there's an Issa Yichud, so the wife can't take care of him in the last couple of months of his life. So he'll give his wife a get, the get should be chal 2 minutes before I die. So the Gemara says that that's not valid, because ain't brera. Not only ain't brera, if you don't know for whom the get is chal, a man writes a get, one of his two wives lays a she'eretz agarshena. So the Gemara calls that ain't brera. But even if he only has one wife, and it's clear who the wife is, but you don't know when the get is taking effect, Shachas Kadim Misasi is also a violation of Ein Brera. So in Shulchan Aruch they raise this issue. So the Rama says what you have to do is you have to create the Hischaibus as of this moment. I obligate myself to give my wife $100 million effective today, but she should only have the Schlusa Gviya. Shachas Kadim Misasi. If you say Schlusa Gviya after I die, is Ein Kinyan Lachamisa. But if you say the Schlusa Gviya should only take effect, even though that should be a violation of Ein Brera, the Rama says that's okay. Why is that okay? What happened to the rule of Ein Brera? So apparently the Rama doesn't explain himself. Apparently the Rama is relying on the Ran. This is all in Marmikaim. The Rama is relying on the Ran in the first daf in Perek HaShutfim, in the middle of Maseches Nedarim, where the Ran has a long arichas. How do we pass him by Brera? There are three shitas, yes, no. And we paskin like the Ran with respect to Dinam Daraisa Ein Brera, with respect to Dinam Darabanan Yesh Brera. So then the Ran has another Chiddush. There's a gigantic Ran, the first Ran in Perika Hashutfin in the middle of the Dorm. So then the Ran writes another Chiddush. The rule of Ein Brera only applies on the major aspect of the Kinyan. If it's a detail in the Kinyan, then with respect to the details, you do say Yesh Brera. So that's what the Ran is relying on over here. I owe my wife $100 million me'achshav, but when are the schusik gviya? It's a crucial point. When does she have the right to collect? But that's only considered a detail. So on details, you say yesh brera. So you have to create the hischayvus mamon. I owe the money to my wife right now. You make a kinyan soon. You make a kinyan shtar. It's kind of the hischayvus right now, but it's only should only be collectible a day before I die. So even though that's really an issue of brera, so the Rama paskins are yesh brera on the details. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a tremendous chiddush, and he didn't even write it as a separate tshuva. It's tacked on at the end of a tshuva in a chelek avenezer. So whoever doesn't, you look at the maftech, you won't be able to find it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein did not make out any kinyonim. He just made a secular will. I don't know how much money he had from the selling the Igros Moshe, but he made a plain old will, a secular will. What good is that? So the Rav Chaim Moizer raised the suffix. We say that mitzvah l'kaim de rames only applies if hushlish mentchilu l'kach. If I gave over the money in a trust account, I gave it over specifically that after I die they should give it to the grandchildren or to the daughters and whatever. If it's lo hushlish mentchilu l'kach, we assume mitzvah l'kaim de rames does not apply. What is the concept of hushlish mentchilu l'kach? I've secured it while I was alive. I saw to it that it's going to be taken care of. I even gave the money over in a bank account, a trust account. It's taken care of. So Chaim Moizer raised the possibility. This is already not included in Achiezer. We have the Shadosh Tshuvas Achiezer that Chaim Moizer printed during his lifetime. And after he passed away, somebody in Bnei Barak collected all the other tshuvas that were floating around, all the letters that were floating around, put it together in a new volume of Achiezer. So in a new volume, to have this tshuva. Rav Chaim Moshe raised the possibility, if you make a last will and testament and you file it with the government will not honor anything else other than that. You can scream bloody murder, they're only going to follow whatever is your last will and testament. So he raised the possibility, maybe that's the equivalent of hushlish metchila lekach. Maybe you should apply mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames, because that's considered hush. So he's not sure. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he writes, not like Rav Chaim Moshe, he writes on his own. Chiddush number one, Rav Moshe writes is like this. Normally the Rambam starts off Hilchas Mechira with the following statement, Ein ha-mekach nikne bedvarim. If I own furniture, I own clothing, I own real estate, I want to transfer ownership to someone else, you have to, if I just say, I hereby give you ownership of my property, dvarim alone, words, Ein ha-mekach nikne bedvarim. You have to make a proper kinyan. There are kinyonim for karka, there are kinyonim for metaltalim. So Rav Moshe has chiddush number one, that if there's a very strong gemiras das, as an umdar and muchach, there's an extremely strong gemiras das, this is what the guy wants, he can be koina without any maisa kinyan at all. The Chazon Ish has this in the Sefer on Chosha Mish, but the first two pages in the Sefer, before the essays begin, before the simonim, so the Chazon Ish has a long arichas, he quotes from his father, that his father said this, that all of the kinyani karka and kinyani metaltalim, in order to demonstrate that there's a gemiras das, what if it's clear, absolutely clear. That's a very clear gemiras das, and there's no need for a maisa kinyan. The Rosh Hashem Choris also has some of the arichas that the Chazon Ish has. Rav Moshe has some of the arichas. That's klal number one. Whenever it's absolutely clear that there's a strong gemiras das, that this is what the person wants, that the kinyanim can take effect without any need for any maisa kinyan whatsoever. So he says, if a person makes a secular will, the last will and testament, that's all the government is going to follow. There's nothing to discuss. You can scream bloody murder. The government is only going to honor that. So he doesn't say like Rav Chaim Moshe writes that maybe that should be the equivalent of hushlish metchila lekach. We should apply the principle of mitzvah l'kaim d'rei ames, din d'rabbanan. He thinks, no, this is mamash a kinyan d'oraisa. Make a kinyan. You express gemiras das in such a way that it's absolutely clear this is what you want. So there's room to say there's no need for any ma'aseh kinyan. It takes effect with das alone. But then the person writes in his will, in his secular will, I bequeath. I bequeath means lachamisa. So there's a klal, ein kinyan lachamisa. You can't make kinyanim after you die. So Moshe comes up with a fantastic chiddush. The first chiddush, many agree to. That the Chazon Ish and the Rosh Hashanah, many agree to. Second chiddush, I don't think anybody agreed. Second chiddush, he says, this halacha, ein kinyan lachamisa, means like this. I sell you, I plan to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to move in the summertime. So I'm not going to need my house as of September 1st. So I sell you the house as of September 1st. What year is it? 2013. You should be kind of the house. Then I drop dead in the middle of the summer. So who did the house belong to after I died? It belongs to my Yorshim. So my kinyan that's supposed to take place, September 2013, Ein Kinyan Lachamisa. After I died, no longer belongs to me. But what happens, Rav Moshe writes, Achidish, if I say, as long as I'm alive, the house belongs to me, the minute I drop dead and the house no longer belongs to me, it should belong to you. Switch from me to you. And there was no in between, there was no time in between. So Moshe says, Yesh Kinyan Lachamisa. Yesh Kinyan Lachamisa. So that's what Dayan Grosnas has a long tshuva. Dayan Grosnas used to be a Dayan in London. He learned by Rav Baruch Ber. He learned by the Chafetz Chaim. So he was friendly with the Rabbanim. When I was a Talmud Yeshiva, he was friendly with the Rabbanim who were Magid Yeshiva at that time. So he has he went into Dayonis. He was in the London Bezin for many years. Passed away already. So he has a tshuva in his sefer. You have it here. Sections of the tshuva are available. Lev Aryeh. So he quotes from the Feirush Gemara against Rav Moshe that even in such a case, you also apply. Very peladig. Rav Moshe knew all of the Gemaras. Rav Moshe knew everything by heart. He must have a teretz on this, but I don't know what the teretz is. So the pashtus is, I'll be pashtus of the Gemara, that Ein Kinyan Lachamisa would still be a problem. If it goes directly from me to the other party, it will still be a problem. So the way to, if a person wants to see to it that his wife should get the whole Yerusha, so then he has to be mischaiv himself such an amount of money. So the question is, but then it'll be a violation of Aburi Achasanto. He's cutting out all the children. He's giving everything to his wife and the children get nothing. So Rav Moshe wrote that we paskin, you don't have to give 51% to the Yorshim. If you give a significant amount, so Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva, a significant amount was $1,000. That was a lot of money. Today, you have to give something more significant. I don't know, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000. So let's say I have three sons. So I'll write. I want to obligate myself $100 million give to my wife, and everything, all of my assets should be meshuba to that, except for $75,000 of my assets, that should go be Yerusha to my three sons. Okay? So they're going to get, each one's going to get $25,000 Yerusha. I didn't violate Aburi Achasanta, and all the rest of the money is meshuba to pay my wife. If I die before my wife dies before me, so then I want to give my six daughters also a share. So I want to give an equal share. So one way to do it is to be, I don't think I'm going to have $90 million when I die. I have nine children, so I can be meshabbin myself $10 million to each one of the children. So fine, the three sons get the Yerusha, but then they have to divide it, they have to pay up all the chayvus. So then I'm not going to have $90 million. So each one will get an equal share.
Is there still this violation of Avar HaSanta if when you know that, because assuming you produce your wife, when your wife dies, the money goes to the children anyway. Meaning you're not cutting the sons out, you're just waiting until both parents are dead.
Yeah, but right now they're not getting anything. The wife may decide to gamble away all the money. She may decide to marry someone else and spend all the money on a second husband. The children will be left with nothing. So the rightful Yerushim are really the children. So that's how it's recommended, that if a person doesn't want to violate Avar HaSanta, he should leave some significant amount, $25,000 probably enough, to each one of the Yorshim, and then be Mishabin himself some exorbitant amount of money that he doesn't think for sure he's going to have so much when he dies, so much assets, and then everything will be collected for the debt to the wife, and he should specify, except for $75,000, should not be Mishub to the wife, that should go be Yerusha to the children. Very good. Okay. We should all live on. Shouldn't have any problems.
It's too complicated.
Good day.
I didn't mean it seriously, but the honeymoon was.
Sorry, I said something.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't even mean it.